Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF, the controversial US-backed group tasked with distributing aid in Gaza, announced a suspension of operations for today after Palestinians were reportedly killed by Israeli gunfire near one of its sites. The Israeli Defense Forces told Gazans that the roads leading to the distribution centers are now designated combat zones until the GHF operations reopen. Gaza officials say 102 people have been killed at the aid centres since they opened last week. Well, my next guest has just returned to the UK today after working as a surgeon in war-torn Nasser Hospital in southern Gaza for over 3 weeks, where she worked 14-hour days treating casualties from Israeli attacks while dealing with severe shortages caused by the humanitarian blockade. Dr. Victoria Rose is a consultant plastic surgeon at St. Thomas Hospital in London and has spoken with us from Gaza as well. Dr. Rose, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure to speak with you again. Can I ask you about developments in Gaza today, the closure of the GHF centres, now designated a combat zone? I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it, that you develop an aid centre and then designate it a combat zone?
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation is very bizarre, and it just really shows that they're probably not the best organisation to be running aid in Gaza. I think for us it's very disappointing because the UN and the WHO, with their other allies, so with UNRWA and with the World Food Organization, we're doing a fantastic job of supplying the Gazans with aid until this blockade in March. And I still fail to understand why a second company was brought in. Obviously, there are sort of reports that it was due to the looting by Hamas and locals, mm-hmm. and the fact that the supplies were being sold on the black market. But I think the answer to that really is to supply more aid rather than to spend thousands of dollars on another company.
And let the aid in, I suppose, across the border. Pure and simple, to people who are starving literally to death in some cases.
Yeah.
I should say that some of this interview will be distressing because the cases you dealt with, Victoria, are harrowing. They are harrowing, and they have come from some of these casualties and injuries that you treated in Nasser Hospital, I think, in your time in Gaza, came directly from the GHF site.
Yeah, so that day was pretty difficult for us because we got the news very early in the morning. I think what had happened is a lot of Palestinians were aware that the centre was going to open at 7 or 8 in the morning, and they'd congregated early at about 3 a.m. And I think this was very overwhelming for the GHF, sort of military-run distribution centre. And I think panic set in when they saw the numbers of people coming. So by the time we started operating, patients were being brought into Nasser Hospital. And Nasser isn't close to Rafah, where this distribution site is. Mm-hmm. There are other field hospitals closer. And we know that ICRC's field hospital took a number of the casualties. And actually, to get to Nasser from that distribution point, you are coming very close to the active fighting zone. So we had 28 people arrive dead in ambulances and on the back of donkey carts within the first few hours, and then the walking wounded started to come in. They numbered up to about 200, and the emergency department was absolutely rammed. We had people lying on the floors, all the beds were used up, and it was literally a case of triaging to see who had an injury that could wait and who needed to go to theatre immediately.
And you were saying that in particular it's the children casualties that affected you the most this time.
Yeah, I mean, the children, mainly from the bombings, there's been quite a number of children injured now. And this mission, more than any of the others that we've done, we noticed the numbers were way higher. Every list that we did had about 10 people on, and we never had less than 5 children on a list in an operating day, and sometimes more. We did a day with 8 children. So it really was quite harrowing this time.
And what type of injuries?
They're all blast injuries. So essentially, they've been blown up, but really significant injuries. So missing parts of limbs, parts of chest, abdomen. It really kind of devastating blast injuries. And it was very difficult seeing that type of injury in a child of 4 or 5. We also had a huge number of blast burns, with some really small children taking significant percentage burns that are often unsurvivable in the UK, let alone in a war zone like Gaza.
Really, with all the equipment and treatment that you could give in the UK. Yeah. Can you tell me about 3-year-old Hatem?
Yeah, he was burnt in a bombing, so his burn is from the heat of the blast, and he's got quite a significant burn to his face, his lower limbs and his arms, with some patches on his back and his chest. We were quite worried about him initially because he's 3, so he's quite small, and his burns amounted to 35%, which is quite a risky burn in somebody of his size. He seemed to do very well initially, but then he developed what we would refer to as a stress ulcer, and he developed it quite early in his treatment. So he started bleeding from his intestines, and then he developed a temperature, and we were worried about infection setting in. But he has actually, by the time we left NASA, he'd made a good recovery, although he's not really healing the grafted areas that we did, but he's definitely improving systemically.
Okay. And he kept saying, I read, Cedo, is that what he was saying?
Cedo, it means grandfather, and we didn't realise what he was referring to for the first sort of few days that we had him. And then the staff told us that his grandfather is his only surviving relative. He's an only child, and his parents were killed in the blast.
Yeah, my God. I mean, it's just incredible.
But that's not unusual. I mean, there's 42,000 orphans in Gaza at the moment. And we had countless stories of children on the operating table where we were told that they were the sole survivor, or them and their younger sibling was the sole survivor. And
I know, but what I'm saying is it's very difficult to reconcile a 3-year-old calling out repeatedly for his sole surviving family member, a grandfather. Mm. It's very difficult to reconcile that with the political rhetoric on the Israeli side from somebody like the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who says we're doing this to get rid of Hamas. It just doesn't make any sense when you view those side by side, does it?
No, it doesn't make any sense. And actually, to have been at this for as long as they have and still not achieve their aim makes it, you know, doubly senseless. And they really need to think of another tactic now, because this is mass casualties of the entire population.
Yeah. Can I ask you, will you go back, do you think?
I would love to go back, but I have a feeling we will probably be denied entry again if we go back. I mean, we are going to try. We've got another mission going in July, and I will definitely try and get out again later this year. But it's always touch and go as to whether the Israelis will let you in or not.
It's my pleasure to speak with you, I must say again, Dr. Victoria Rose, Consultant Plastic Surgeon at St. Thomas Hospital in London. Thank you.